Shalom, I'm Kimberly Warwick with Lion and Lamb Ministries, and welcome to the Lion's Share. This is our program where we introduce you to leaders in the faith, get their stories about how they got started in ministry and what they're doing now. And today, wow, do we have a special guest with us. He really needs no introduction. His name is Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He's with us today to talk about his new book, The Dragon's Prophecy. This book is one of his best. I have to tell you, I've just gotten through reading it, and it is amazing. Rabbi, welcome to the Lion's Share.
Great to be with you.
Thank you. We're so happy to be with you. We're honored you could fit us into your schedule. So thank you for being here.
And we overcame some technical things, so that's a good sign.
Yes, always good. We always overcome.
Yes.
Well, that's Rabbi, please, if you'll start with us today on telling us how you became a Messianic rabbi. How did you go from growing up in Jewish home to becoming Messianic rabbi?
Well, it's a whole story. I'll give a very quick nutshell. I was raised, I went to Hebrew school, you know, but when I was 8 years old, I became an atheist because I didn't see the God of the Bible that I was told about in the synagogue. I didn't see the power. I didn't see the reality.
Right.
And so I became an atheist. And until time went on, I said, atheism doesn't work. There's got to be a reason why we're here. And so I started seeking truth. I started getting every book on everything, science, religion, UFOs, Nostradamus, everything. One day I picked up a book. I thought it was a UFO book. It was The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey,
yes,
about biblical prophecy coming true in our time. And that just totally turned my mind. I said, wow, I had no idea what the Bible said is coming true. And so I started reading the Bible. And as I'm reading it, I'm reading the prophecies of the Messiah. He'll be born in Bethlehem. He'll ride in a donkey to Jerusalem. He'll die for our sins. I thought, oh, that was Catholic. How did it get in our Bible? You know. So finally, I'm believing in my mind, but I didn't want to live it. I had a rock band. I was a teenager. I did what teenagers did, but I knew I had to. And so finally, I made a deal. I said, God, if you give me a long life, I'll accept you when I'm on my deathbed. And so soon after I did that, I was almost killed twice.
Wow.
The second time, I was hit by a train.
Wow.
And as I was hit by a train, I was in a Ford Pinto, which is like aluminum foil, and it became like aluminum foil. And as it went up, I just called out to God.
Wow.
The car was destroyed, and I didn't get a scratch.
Wow.
I said, okay, Lord, that was strike two. I said, can we renegotiate that deal? I said, so, all right, here's the new deal. I'll accept you when I turn 20. Just don't kill me until then. And so on my 20th birthday, not knowing how, nobody leading me, but I was listening to Christian radio, is reading the Bible. I remember from Hebrew school that God met Moses on a mountain and Elijah on a mountain.
Yes.
So I found a mountain. I went up to the top of it. And on the mountain, on the top of that mountain, I gave my life to the Lord on my 20th birthday.
Wow.
That's how I came.
Amazing story.
And then the Lord called me to ministry. I was in college, called me into ministry. I knew that. And I was helping in the meantime, helping a Messianic congregation get started. I was one of the founders to help them. They said, can you help? I said, yeah, but one day I have to leave for the ministry that God called me. And I helped doing that. I helped them start it. And, you know, I ministered and all that. And then one day the one who was leading it left. And they asked me, said, will you take it over? Will you lead? And it's called Beth Israel.
Yes.
I said, well, this was just for the meantime. I was waiting for the ministry. You know, he said, maybe this is the ministry. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I know I'm not supposed to give you fleeces. They say you're not supposed to give them fleeces. I don't know where that's in the Bible. But I said, I'm giving you six of them, and you got to do them all by the end of the month. And by the end of the month, he did all of them.
Wow.
And I said, okay. So that was Beth Israel. So it started, it was a few people, and I led it, and then it started growing and growing. And then we started Hope of the World, which is the outreach to the world. And then everything else, you know, everything else happened.
Wow. It's an amazing story how God just brings those that he wants to do something just fantastic with, right out of being an atheist all the way to the leader of Beth Israel and a New York Times bestseller on top of that. That's just a fantastic story. Amazing.
Yeah, it's all the Lord.
Yes.
God.
Yes, indeed.
God.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, Rabbi, we want to jump right into talking about your new book, The Dragon's Prophecy. We have the book trailer here. We're going to play that for our audience, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about your book.
Is there more to the world than meets our eyes? Another realm that's transforming our world at this very moment? Is there an ancient vision that unlocks what is really happening? and what is yet to come? Is there a secret to the Book of Revelation that reveals what is taking place right now? After 8 New York Times bestsellers, Jonathan Cahn now releases his newest stunning blockbuster, The Dragon's Prophecy, Israel, the Dark Resurrection, and the End of Days. For the first time ever, Jonathan Cahn will open end time prophecy and reveal the secrets of our age. The Dragon's Prophecy will reveal the long hidden secret of the last days, the colors of the apocalypse, the 2315th day, the beast, what lies ahead, and more. What does the future hold? Just when you thought Jonathan Cahn's books couldn't get more explosive, comes The Dragon's Prophecy, Israel, The Dark Resurrection, and The End of Days. It will open your eyes, blow your mind, and change the way you see the world. Available everywhere books are sold.
That trailer is it says it blows your mind. It really does. It just piques your interest and wants to make, it just makes you want to jump right into the book. Which I did, by the way. So let's get started with that. You have said that whenever you get ready to release a book, spiritual warfare happens. Can you tell us what happened as you were writing The Dragon's Prophecy?
Yeah, I'm at the point where I'm writing about the flood. You know, in Revelation, the dragon spews a flood out of his mouth against the woman, Israel. You know, as I'm writing it, a flood comes against our building, our ministry called Beth Israel. It floods, you know, it's all over. You can't get there except by a boat, you know, and then it goes down. And the next day after it goes down, another flood comes. And this flood, you know, the first one was a storm. Second one, there was no storm. It was sunny. But a freak water main broke on our road and recreated the flood the next day. Then that went down and a third flood came. You know, that's just the beginning of this. But all these things started happening. I mean, amazing, which is a good sign. Yes. It's exactly that God wanted. The enemy didn't want this book into the hands of God's people. God did.
That's right. That's right. I totally believe that. Is it true that a 3,000-year-old mystery foretold the invasion of Hamas into Gaza on October 7th?
Well, what happened was it was a Friday night at Beth Israel, and I was led that night to speak about a biblical mystery that goes back to Leviticus. And that mystery that I shared ordained that there would be an attack on Israel. It would take Israel by surprise. It would happen in the year 2023, would happen in the month of October of that year, would fall on a Saturday, a Sabbath day, would happen on a Hebrew holy day, and it would happen on the first Saturday of October of 2023. The first Saturday of October of 2023 was October 7th, the day that Israel was attacked, invaded, the day of the invasion. And I shared it that Friday night. The next morning, it came true.
Wow.
And so this is one of the mysteries that really kind of began the book, and one of the mysteries in the book that may even enable us to know exact specific future events, and in some cases, when they're going to happen. In fact, when I finished the book, that mystery, other mysteries started coming true from that. Other events happened according to that mystery. It's still happening.
Wow.
Several things have happened since I wrote the book. So it truly was a prophetic experience writing it. And then after it, it's already been coming true.
Wow. That happens with many of your books that you write, doesn't it?
Yeah. Usually I would say it happens a little while after that you see those things, and like happen with a harbinger, happen with the paradigm, even to this day with Trump. It happened with the harbinger. I mean, the harbinger too. It happened with, Return of the Gods. But this one happened as I was writing it, and then after I finished, it's already happening.
Amazing, amazing. Rabbi, there are people who struggle with the idea of the devil, but how does Jewish history testify to his existence?
Yeah, well, the thing is that the Bible says that God created this being that turned. And in Hebrew, he's called Hasatan. From that, we get the English word Satan. This is an angelic entity that turned, now exists to destroy the purposes of God. Well, now God brings into the world another entity, Israel and the Jewish people, who exist to accomplish the will of God, to fulfill and bring into the world the purpose of God. And so what's going to happen? You're going to have a war. You know, so what, even if we didn't know anything else, we just know that. It means that we would know that the Jewish people are going to become the most attacked people, the most hated people, the most warred against people, the most vilified, slandered people in every age. And that's exactly what's happened. Yes. It makes no sense in the natural. You know, why from ancient times they were warred against, medieval times, modern times, you know, in every generation. You know, we have, now we have Hamas, but the other generation had Hitler. They have nothing to do with each other except there is something tying them behind. That's the, because the devil knows if he can destroy the Jewish people, Israel, he can just stop the purposes of God. And so he's been trying and trying and trying. You see, and it's, that's why it never dies, because behind the first anti-Semite was an angel, a fallen angel. He doesn't die. Yeah. And so that's why in every generation, so what we just witnessed with October 7th was just the latest war attack in an ancient war that began long before any of us were born. We're just now watching what this part of it. But this is ancient. This is not natural. It makes no sense. Yeah. You know, Hitler has nothing to do with the, with Islamic radicals. They would hate each other. Right. But it doesn't matter. The people, the names change, the people change, the reasons for hating the Jewish people change.
Yes.
But it's because there's something behind it. It's not that. It's something that's supernatural. The Bible reveals that all.
Yes,
and
indeed.
In Revelation 12, the enemy is spoken of as a dragon. That's where the book is. I'm praying and I see an image of a red dragon. The dragon is the enemy who wars against the woman who has 12 stars and she gives birth to Messiah, which is Israel. Yes. It's happening to our day, in our day. And this is part, this is connecting us even to the book of Revelation.
Yes. Can you tell us the mystery of the sea peoples? I know that was a really intriguing piece in your book.
Yeah. You know, well, think about it. See, it's like, you know, one of the things I wanted to do in the Dragon's Prophecy is remove the veil so that you, once you see the, once it's removed, it's like you see what's behind what's happening in the world, which is spiritual, which is prophetic, which is of God's mysteries, which are ancient entities are part of it. But once you take it away, it's like, whoa, it makes sense. Well, this is an issue that's all over the news that is used against Israel all the time, and yet there's an ancient secret. The enemy is a mimic. He imitates God. So what's he going to do? What did God do? God brought forth an ancient nation and brought them back into the world. That's Israel. So what is the enemy going to do? He's going to bring back, he's going to resurrect another nation, ancient, that's going to be resurrected to attack God's nation, to nullify the resurrection that God did.
Yes.
And so what nation? Well, he's the enemy. So it's going to be an enemy people. It's a people who are enemies of Israel. So who were the arch enemies of Israel in the Bible? The Philistines. And the thing is, could God actually, and they are called the sea peoples historically, they came from the sea and they came invaded the land. Could the enemy resurrect the Philistines? He already has. There's a people, and it's not about them. We got to pray for all people and love all people. But the enemy uses this. They don't know they're being used, but they're being used. There's a people today who are called the Palestinians.
Yes.
Okay. What is it? But what does it mean? Palestinian, people don't realize Palestinian means the Philistines.
Wow.
So literally, there are people called the Philistines
Wow.
that are at war with Israel today. And in fact, in the language of the Palestinians, they don't call themselves Palestinians. They call, in their language, Arabic, they call themselves, the word is for Palestinian is Philistini
Wow.
or Philistine. So literally, you know, and, you know, so it's amazing. And so as God is resurrecting Israel at every point, this other resurrection is happening and to match it, to go against it at every point. And so that's the mystery. There's a people, they're being conformed into the image of the ancient Philistines. The ancient Philistines would train their children to be child soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what's happening now
Yes.
in Gaza. The ancient Philistines hated Israel and warred against Israel. Well, the Bible says, well, there's a deep hatred and the enemy is using this ancient mystery to attack the nation and legitimacy of Israel. It all, once you remove the veil, it's like, wow, yes, of course.
That's, I'm sitting here saying, wow, that's a great connection that nobody would think of if you didn't know that ancient connection. It's just amazing. How is the Hamas invasion of Israel connected to the book of Revelation?
Yeah, and let me just, and to add to that with Hamas and with the Philistines or Palestinian, just so you know, that invasion, the Philistines dwelt in a particular place, a particular little strip of land. In the Bible, it's called the translation calls it Philistia, but today it has a different name. Today it's called the Gaza Strip.
Wow.
So and the thing is, the Gaza Strip, Gaza existed, but the Gaza Strip did not. The Gaza Strip came into the world. You know when it came into the world? 1948, the very year Israel came into the world. So here the children of Israel go back to the land of Israel. The children of the Philistines go back to the land of the Philistines. Mm-hmm. And the Philistines used to invade the land of Israel from what is now the Gaza Strip.
Wow.
And they would brutalize Israeli villages and they would take Israelites captive, hostage, back to Gaza. So the whole thing is replaying. Even the place where it happened is part of the mystery where the Philistines used to strike. So you have that. And the thing is, Hamas, well, let me even put it this way. In Revelation 12, the dragon, as I said, spewed that flood, you know, the flood to flood away the woman, Israel. Well, Hamas doesn't call October 7th the October 7th invasion. They called it Operation Tufan. Tufan is an Arabic word. What does that mean? It means the flood, as in the dragon's flood against the woman. So it's all, they're not studying the book of Revelation. No. It's that they're being used. The mystery unfolds regardless.
That is, it's so intriguing how that happens. It's match for match, isn't it?
Yeah, wow. Exactly. Everything. Yeah, exactly. Every single thing is a match for match. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and you know, to the Palestinians, you know what they call the birth of Israel? You know what they call it? They call it the Nakba, which the United Nations also does, which means basically the disaster or the Holocaust.
Wow.
I mean, so everything is, the enemy is twisting everything, reversing. He's trying to match God,
yeah,
but to go against God. And that's what he does.
Wow. Wow. Can you explain the colors of the apocalypse? That's in your book as well.
Yeah, the colors of the apocalypse, you know, that are, well, we know it's the horses. You know, they represent the calamities. You have the white horse for conquest, the red horse of war, the black horse for famine, and the green horse or pale for death. So those are the colors. But the amazing thing is the colors of the apocalypse have been manifesting in the world.
Wow.
Recently. In fact, they manifest wherever there is hatred for Israel, the colors of the apocalypse appear.
How?
Well, in all the rage that's gone against Israel, they do it around a banner. The banner is the flag of Palestine. The flag of Palestine is white for the white horse, red for the red horse, black for the black horse, and green for the green horse. And every nation that has those colors in their flag, the colors mark them as an enemy of the nation of Israel.
Wow, that's really amazing. I've never even thought about that before, but you're absolutely right. All those countries surrounding Israel, yeah, have those colors. Wow.
It's amazing.
It really
they're not reading Revelation. They're not saying, okay, let me match this. But the enemy is, and God knows.
That's
you
right.
Know. That's
right.
That's in the dragon's prophecy. The largest section of the book is called the end of days, which are the prophetic things that are happening right now that are literally are accelerating. We're crossing prophetic red lines.
Yes. I that was my favorite part of the book, actually, because you can see it. You literally can see it as you're reading the book. You can see just what you've said, that those prophetic lines are being crossed one right after the other. It's astounding, really. Yes. Now, in your book, you also write about a mystery being revealed from Ezekiel 38 and 39 that has to do with October 7th. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, Ezekiel gives the prophecy that in the last days, there's going to be an invasion of Israel, and it's going to be several nations. And it's probably the next, it hasn't happened yet. It's going to be the next great prophetic event. And it has to be in the last days, because he said it's going to happen after the Jewish people have been gathered back from the ends of the earth and have come back to Israel. And so the nations are going to come against it. And so now the amazing thing, what I saw is, you know, he names the nations by their ancient, the ancient names of the land. And so you have Cush, which is the modern day Sudan, mm-hmm, ancient Ethiopia. And the amazing thing is Cush, these nations that he says is going to take part in invasion of Israel already has, never did before, first time.
Wow.
Cush, Sudan, was actually behind what Hamas did, the invasion of October 7th. They funded, they smuggled in arms, all this stuff. Libya, the other nation, also was identified as one of the nations in taking part in the invasion of October 7. Togarma, Turkey, was also part of the invasion of October 7. And then Paras, or Iran, was definitely part of this invasion of Hamas. Well, these has never happened in history.
Wow.
But it happened for the first time on October 7th.
And nobody really has recognized that, have they?
No. No, I've never heard that, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the case. It's amazing.
It is amazing. So you mentioned Paras, and in your book, you talk about the Tsar Paras. And what connection does that have with the current, you know, those dangerous events that are happening?
Yeah, think about it, too, that Ezekiel, I mean, Iran is central. Ezekiel said that Iran is going to attack Israel. Now, Iran has never directly attacked Israel until this year.
Yes.
Never happened. Another prophetic red line, where they literally sent in hundreds of missiles and airborne objects to destroy Israel. Well, the thing is that the mystery, again, is in the Bible. That's another prophetic red line. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to a mystery that's in the prophets of Israel, where it speaks about an entity called the Tsar Paras. And this entity is demonic, and it exists to war against Israel, to attack, and particularly to stop the purposes of God for Israel in the last days. Now, here's the thing. You know, when Israel comes back into the world, this entity is going to kick into high gear, because that's the focal point. But what does it mean? The Tsar Paras means, when you translate it, Tsar means the ruler of, master of, lord of, or general. And Paras means the nation of Iran.
Wow.
So here you've got this entity that the Bible identifies is linked to the nation of Iran, and it's demonic. Why is it that the nation of Iran is today the arch enemy of Israel? It's not an accident. It turned. It used to be actually a friend. Turned. Because why is it obsessed with destroying Israel, getting those nuclear weapons, destroying Israel? Because it's being moved and led by an entity that is obsessed with the destruction of Israel. So it's being moved. When you take away the veil, it all makes sense. And so, you know, who's behind Hezbollah? Iran.
Yes.
And behind Iran is the Tsar Paras. Who's behind Hamas? You know, October 7th was Hamas. Behind Hamas was Iran. Behind Iran is the Tsar Paras. And behind the Tsar Paras is the dragon. So you've got this whole thing. And then, so the other thing is that, you know, the Bible also says there's another entity that exists to protect Israel. And that entity has a Hebrew name. And the Hebrew name means who is like God. And the way you say that in Hebrew is Michael or Michael.
Yeah.
And so the Bible says that in the last days, this entity, Michael, is going to protect Israel. It's going to fight for Israel. Well, amazing thing, because what did we see? We saw Iran this year send all these missiles into Israel, and yet they 99% were struck down.
Yeah.
And now somebody did a study, and they said, you know, the Iron Dome could never have done that in that span of time. But I know somebody who could. The Tsar Yisrael, he's called the Tsar Yisrael, Michael. And so you got this literally, you know, what we're seeing on earth behind it is it's what's happening in the heavenlies is being manifest on earth. Why are Iran and Israel set against each other in mortal warfare? Because in the heavenlies, the Tsar Paras and the Tsar Yisrael, Michael, are at war.
Wow.
You know, so it's amazing. So, you know, so behind the defense of Israel is the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force.
Yes.
But behind the IDF is the Tsar Yisrael, Michael, Michael.
Praise
behind God. Michael is Messiah.
Yes.
He was God. So it's amazing.
It is. It's really, I mean, everything that unfolds in your book, it keeps you just turning the page to find out what's the next thing and what's the next thing and what's the next thing. You can't imagine that all of these things are, as you said, behind that veil, behind, you know, what we see on the news is just the frosting. It's like you have to dig underneath, and then you get all these connections. And thank goodness we have you to connect the dots for us, as you have for these last years.
Well, thank you.
Yes. And
thank
that's
you.
Why
and once
you need to get the book. Yes.
And once you see it, it's like everything makes sense. And also there are mysteries in it. Like one of them's linked to the Jubilee, and they think that actually are foretelling specific events that are happening. So it's like knowing what's happening, but also having an insight about what's going to happen.
Yes. And, you know, we've been talking about Iran and its role, and you write in the book about the mystery behind Iran's president. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was the president of Iran, the first president who sent missiles to Iran, to Israel. His name was Ibrahim Raisi. So yes. Think about that. Ibrahim. He's named after Abraham. He wants to destroy the Jewish people. He's named after the father of the Jewish people. And his name points to the Abrahamic covenant, which says, if you bless Israel, God will bless you. Right. If you curse Israel, you're going to be cursed. Whatever you do to Israel is coming back. Well, it also says Israel's the apple of God's eye. Well, you touch Israel, you're touching the apple of God's eye. Well, he did. He did. And about 30 days later, he was struck down dead. And what he did is, think about what he did. He sent these airborne objects to crash into Israel and cause destruction. So now he's in an airborne object, and his airborne object crashes and brings destruction.
Yes.
To him. And so it was the helicopter that went down. Not only that, but after he sent those missiles, he threatened Israel with annihilation. It made headlines. He said, there's going to be nothing left of Israel. Well, you don't do that.
Nope.
Israel is an eternal nation that God has given. That's blasphemy. And the thing is, the day before he went up in that helicopter, it was a Sabbath. So all over the world, the Jewish people are opening up the scrolls and reading the appointed word for that day and that week. And that word ended with, listen, I'm paraphrasing, but it said this: the man who spoke the blasphemy shall be struck down.
Wow.
And the next day, the man who struck the blasphemy was struck down. And God said to, you know, in Ezekiel 38, he says, you know, the enemies, he says, that are coming, he says, I'll bring you, he says, I'm going to bring you against the mountains and you're going to fall on the mountains. Well, it wasn't just that he went down, he was brought down against the mountains.
Yes, he was.
And he fell upon the mountains.
Yes. Well, that, as you said, you don't touch the apple of God's eye. And that's what he called for.
Not without consequence.
In dire consequence, indeed.
Yeah.
Also in the book, there's a very intriguing part. You talk about the secret of the mount. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. The ground zero of end time biblical prophecy is the Temple Mount.
Yes.
You know, and so it's kind of like Israel came back to the land. It's like a spotlight that keeps getting more, it keeps focusing. You got the land, but that wasn't the, then you got Jerusalem is the next part. And now in Jerusalem, it's the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is where it's all going to happen. That's where the temple's going to be built. That's where the Antichrist is going to go. That's where Messiah is going to reign from. So you know the enemy is going to fight over that mount. And so he's going to seek control and dominion. And he basically has it because the enemies of Israel have that mount, that Temple Mount. And they will not let Jewish people go up there to observe anything from the Bible. Right. Well, if anything threatens the dragon's control of that mount, all hell's going to break loose. People don't realize that it happened. Months when something happened concerning the Temple Mount that was the secret behind everything. And what happened is that there were Israelis who wanted to, and the rumors spread that they were going to celebrate Passover on the Temple Mount. And, you know, that's the lamb, you know, and the dragon hates the lamb.
Yes.
So that's a double thing. But it's threatening, you know, that's about the temple. So what happened was all hell broke loose on the Temple Mount, violence, destruction. And that's when Hamas said to Israel, made a threat, said, you're playing with fire, and we're going to there's going to be revenge. The revenge was October 7th for the Temple Mount.
Wow.
In fact, it wasn't just Hamas doing it. It was the devil. It was the dragon having his revenge for the devil. That's all that destruction. It was demonic. It wasn't, it wasn't just political. It was demonic. That was the dragon. Because when they put their manifesto of why they did it, they said it was because of the Temple Mount.
Wow.
I mean, and so, and they even mentioned the red heifers.
Yes.
It was mentioned by one of them. They said, now who'd be threatened by red cows? You know, the dragon would, because he knows what it means, you know? And so the amazing thing is that the name of the operation wasn't just Operation Flood. It was Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, which is the Temple Mount. So they even named it after the Temple Mount.
Yes.
And the thing is that on that day, here's another secret here, is that there is one day on the in the Hebrew calendar, where when they open up the Torah scrolls, they read about the dedication of the temple on the Temple Mount. And they it's one day that celebrates the dedication of the Temple Mount. That was a holy day, ancient. It fell on October 7th.
Oh, wow.
So here they are opening up all across Israel. They're opening up and reading about the temple being built on the Temple Mount, and the dragon goes crazy and with an operation that is also named after the Temple Mount. You know, and here's another secret just to throw in, you know. And one of the things in the book, I speak about how actually Adolf Hitler was behind October 7th and was also behind September 11th. But now here's another thing. Here's another thing. Behind September 11th, you know, October 7th was the September 11th for Israel.
Right.
But our September 11th, behind it was actually the Temple Mount. It started in Jerusalem. It actually, when bin Laden said the reason for it, you know, this is 20 years before Hamas said it was the Temple Mount. He said it was the Temple Mount. Wow. It was the dragon. It's the dragon. So the result of the dragon was October 7th for Israel and September 11th for us. That's what it's all about.
Amazing. Again, the way those dots connect, as the trailer said, it's mind-blowing. It really is when you really sit down and read about it.
God is amazing. You know, Kimberly, I think, I can wonder, am I going to run out of stuff to write? No, because God is there's no end to God. There's no end to his mysteries. There's no end to his works before our eyes.
Yes, that's true. Well, Rabbi, you talked about the connection to September 11th for us with the Temple Mount, but there's a King Solomon mystery or connection also?
Well, that is linked to, it was King Solomon who dedicated the temple on the Temple Mount. That's what the scripture speaks about. So, you know, it's speaking about that. So they're all reading that and you know, that's going to trigger the dragon because it's talking about the rebuilding of the temple, which is moving, things are moving toward that, you know? And so, I mean, in every case, Kimberly, every case, you're seeing what the Bible says about the enemy, and he's, you know, you can't deny his existence. You can't explain things like this without naturally. You can't explain the world's hatred for Israel. You can't explain Hitler naturally. And so all these things, he's the imitation of it. So we got that mystery there. He's also the desecrator. He's going to desecrate that mount. You know, that's where the Antichrist is. That's where the abomination is. Well, you know, what happened on October 7th is part of the mystery of desecration, because that day, October 7th, wasn't just one Hebrew holy day. It was three converging at the same moment. Three. And so the enemy couldn't resist it. So he desecrated each one of them. The Sabbath, he took away the peace. You know, another one was called Simchat Torah, the day of joy. Yes. He took away that joy. And you know what the Israelis do on Simchat Torah? They go out in the streets and they dance and they clap their hands and they sing for the joy of God.
Yes.
And they hand out candy. Well, yes. On that day in Israel, there was no joy. It was sorrow because of the enemy.
Sure.
But in the camps of the enemies of Israel, in Gaza, in the West Bank, they went out in the streets, they danced and they sang and they clapped their hands and they handed out candy.
Yeah.
They celebrated the enemy. It was the devil's holiday. He took what God did and he changed that. Even, I'm going to throw this in because this is so important, even the Jubilee, because, you know, God restores according to the Jubilee is that you lost your land, you get it back, among other things. Well, Israel lost his land and God brought them back. And when he brought them back, he did it according to the mystery of the Jubilee. And the thing is that I'll just give a very quick nutshell.
Please go ahead.
That is that it's this 50-year mystery. And when God starts bringing Israel back into the land, the restoration begins. A key year is 1867. That year, they actually discover ancient Jerusalem that year. Okay, that year, the Sultan of Turkey releases the land, so now Jewish people can start purchasing it back. And so it happens all 1867, and then Jewish people start coming back. In those next years, they start coming back. Count 50 years to the next Jubilee, it's 1917. Anything happen? The enemy who occupies your land has got to get out.
Yes.
Well, 1917, World War I happens. And so, I mean, it's happening. And so the British come into the land of Israel, and the Turks, who are occupying it, flee the land after, wow, in the year of Jubilee, they leave the land. And the British issued the Balfour Declaration, which says, we're promising the land of Israel will go back to the children of Israel, Jubilee. Everyone shall return to their own land.
Yes.
But they don't have Jerusalem. Count 50 years, and where does it take you? 1967. Anything happen? 1967, the Six-Day War happens. Right. On the third day, the Israeli soldiers, after 2,000 years, enter the gates of Jerusalem.
Yes.
And everyone shall return to their ancestral possession. Jubilee. And you know what happens, Kimberly? At that moment, you know, that they come back, the sound of the Jubilee is heard from the Temple Mount. Yeah. Happened to be this rabbi, a guy with a shofar, and he blows the Jubilee. He's not doing it because the Jubilee, he doesn't know that. He's just doing it. His name was Rabbi Goren. It turns out Rabbi Goren was born in 1917, the other year of Jubilee.
Wow.
And he's now 50 years old. And on the 50 year mark, he blows the sound of the Jubilee. And Rabbi Goren, his name Goren means horn. So it, Rabbi Horn sounds the horn in the year of Jubilee.
Now,
Jerusalem goes back. But now in the Jubilee, you don't just return, you get the legal right.
Yeah.
But you know, Israel is the only nation that the world has refused to recognize its capital, Jerusalem. So they refuse that. But count 50 years and where does it take you? 1967 takes you to the year 2017. Anything happen? In the year 2017, Donald Trump, in his first administration, mm-hmm, America issues the Jerusalem Declaration that gives the legal right recognition of Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel. First time any world leader does that since ancient times.
Right.
Okay. And I'm sure that Donald Trump was not reading the original Hebrew of Leviticus to study this, to decide to do that. He probably just woke up and said, you know what? It's a good day. I think I'll do it. It'll be fantastic. That's what happened. So all that happened according to the Jubilee, but the enemy is an imitator. We saw that.
Yeah.
So he's going to take the mystery of the Jubilee of God, restoring Israel, and he's going to turn it into a devil's Jubilee.
Yeah.
And so what he's going to do is he's going to take a calamity that happened to Israel. It was the worst thing that happened to Israel up until October 7th. It was called the Yom Kippur War. They got invaded by surprise. Mm-hmm. Almost led to the destruction of Israel. The prime minister almost committed suicide.
Wow.
They believed it was the end. By miracle, they turned it around and won, but they were shaken ever since then to this day. It was the worst thing that happened, worst loss of life until October 7th. But the devil's going to take that and make it a Jubilee, his own. So what happened? When did it happen? 1973. Count 50 years. Where's the Jubilee? 2023.
Wow.
2023. When did the invasion happen? In October. So the devil's Jubilee is going to be in October of 2020. Wow. When did it happen? Happened on the Sabbath day. So yeah, it's going to happen on the Sabbath day. It happened on the Yom Kippur invasion happened on a Hebrew holy day that went back to Leviticus 23.
Mm-hmm.
So this October 7th happened on a Hebrew holy day and went back to Leviticus 23.
Yes.
The Yom Kippur War happened on the first Saturday of October of 2023. So the first Saturday of October of 2023 was October 7th.
Yes.
It was the devil's Jubilee. That's what we watched.
Yes.
And so it's amazing, you know,
good
and the bad, but we are watching a spiritual war happening before our eyes.
Yes.
And this is all linked up to biblical prophecy, biblical mysteries, and the book of Revelation. So it's amazing.
It is.
Amazing. Once you see it.
You couldn't make it up if you wanted to. God, you know.
Only God.
Yes. Well, you mentioned Simchat Torah, and here at Lion and Lamb, we actually go out and camp for 8 days as a ministry. People come from all over the world and join us. We've had 1,000 to 500 people there. It varies every year, but we were out there, and of course, Simchat Torah morning, where everybody goes down to the main tent to hear Monty, give the high Sabbath message and dance with the Torah. And we usually have, the whole audience will dance with the Torah, and there's praying, the prayers and the blessings. And so we all go down to the tent with this great anticipation of joy, only to have Monty tell us right from the beginning, there's been something happened in Israel. And let me tell you. And so then we get the news. And it was devastating, devastating.
And it's no accident. It happened, and it wasn't. And it wasn't that, the invaders are also studying Leviticus and knowing all the thing about Simchat Torah, all that. They weren't, it happened. And the thing is, it's amazing. It's the enemy. I mean, that's what he does. If the same enemy who's going to desecrate the Temple Mount, he desecrates the things of God. And so this was the holiday about the temple, by the way. And the other thing is, I'm not going to go into it, but it's one of the mysteries in the book. There's a mystery that we read about. There's a story we all learned as children, and that actually foretold the event. And it's the story of Samson. Samson is an Israelite who's taken captive by the Philistines to the city of Gaza. And it says in that account, it says the Philistines decided to have a festival. They had like a holiday. And they the word that's used in the Hebrew for the Philistines festival was Simcha. Simcha. So now on Israel's Simcha, the enemy, like he's making a revenge. And who was the one who invading it? The people of Gaza. That's what happened with Samson. Gaza. In fact, in that account, Samson, pushes down the temple, and it says about 3,000 Gazans were struck down. When the IDF said how many people actually of Gaza made the invasion, they said it was about 3,000, the return of the 3,000 Gazans.
Just unbelievable. Unbelievable how, again, match for match that the enemy is trying to do.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Amazing. Well, that leads me to think about, the current rage that's happening, the anti-Semitism that's rising drastically, the anti-Israel rage. Does all of that that's happening now have to connect back to this mystery?
First of all, remember the end time prophecy. The Bible says in the last days, all nations are going to rage against Israel. They're going to come against Israel. People say, well, how could that happen? The whole world come against this little New Jersey sized land, but you can't, you've seen the shadow of it now. But that was the great, when have you ever heard, seen the world, the entire world from every, I mean, every continent all over, rage against one single nation? They didn't do it against Nazi Germany. They didn't do it against the Soviet Union or communist China, and that killed millions of people. But the little tiny nation of Israel, that's not natural. And in Revelation, it says out of the dragon's mouth didn't just come a flood, came spirits. And these spirits went through the entire world and gathered the world to Armageddon against Israel to destroy it. Well, this is the dragon. This is a little shadow, a dry run. And the thing is, who was leading most of those events? It was the young, which is the future generation. They did a thing of that, a study of young Americans. And you know what? Most young Americans aren't pro-Israel.
No.
More of them are pro-Hamas.
Yes.
And a good, almost a majority said that what happened on October 7th was justified.
I know.
So this, and this is the future of America if without revival. So that's why you got to pray. The other thing is, what do they chant? In Harvard University, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. Well, that chant is a destruction, is this chanting for the destruction of Israel.
Yes.
Who's behind it? The enemy is. Let me show you. We've seen, this has come up a few times with us, is that the enemy takes the things of God and he twists it. Okay. Well, you know what? That comes from the Bible. God says, I've given you this land, children of Israel, forever, from the river to the sea. So the enemy takes the words of God, which is the promise of the land,
Yes.
and twists them against Israel, saying, from the river. That's God's word twisted. So
Yes.
it gives you, it's the fingerprints of the dragon all over.
Wow. And he is attacking our youth. Absolutely. I watched those films on the news with the kids marching and all of that, and you think, wake up. Wake up. There was just a news report the other day with the LGBTQ community marching, supporting Palestine, and all I could think of was, if you go there, you will not believe what will happen to you. And they just don't know.
And that bears out the mystery here because, they're two opposite things. I mean, on one side, you have Hamas and radical Islam that would again push a LGBT person off the roof.
Exactly.
And then you have the LGBT on a whole nother thing, and yet they're united regarding because of Israel. And you had Hitler again, who had nothing to do with it. You have the czars, you had they had nothing to do with each other, it tells you it's not about them. There's something, you got to go behind it.
That's
for
right.
The reason. The reason is the dragon.
It's amazing. Folks, I got to tell you, if you have not read The Dragon's Prophecy yet, you must get this book. Now, we are carrying that in our Messianic Marketplace, and you can call Ellen. She'll be happy to get that to you, or go to messianicmarketplace.org and get this book in your hands. You will not believe all the dots that Rabbi Kahn has connected for us regarding what's happening today. And Rabbi, I have to tell you, the one of the best parts of the book, of course, I enjoyed the whole thing, of course, but after you've given all the dots, now we come to the encouraging part for us as believers today. Tell us about the secret Israelis.
Yeah. You see, the thing is that this is not just about Israel. We're all part of it. You know, it says in the same chapter, the dragon made war against the woman, but also he went against the rest of her children.
Yeah.
Who are they? The rest of the children are the believers. If you're a believer in Messiah, the Bible says you are born again, and you're born again a citizen of Israel. And so the thing is that you are part of the rest of her children. So it's the Jewish people. So it means the dragon's against you too. And so in the last days, he's going to war against Israel. He's going to war against all the children of Israel. He's going to war against every believer. And the thing is that, so when it's happening there, know it's happening. It's about you too, no matter what. So we're all in this together. And so in the last days, God's going to bring all these things together. Israel, those who follow Messiah together, Christians and Messianic believers, all that. And the thing is that here's a key. When, I put this, I call it the mystery of the secret Israelis, and I'll put it this way.
Yes.
And by the way, listen, Kimberly, we said at the beginning, if you're not concerned about time, I'm good with you. So let's go for it.
Yeah,
so,
go
so
for
the thing
it.
Is that, yeah, so the thing is that I'll put it this way. If you talk to, a lot of Italian men, they'll tell you they have these good fight stories, And, Irishmen, good fight story. I took, Jewish people, not so much. We have almost good fight stories.
Yeah.
Almost. We almost got into fight, but we didn't. Almost, if he said one more word, nobody knows what the word is. So the thing is that because Jewish people weren't known for being fighters because they weren't allowed to be. They didn't have an army. They didn't have a land. They weren't allowed in many ways. But in ancient times, that was a different story. But when Jewish people came back to the land of Israel, they realized something. If we don't learn how to fight, we're going to be wiped out. And they did that, not known, but because there was a real enemy, the dragon. And so these survivors of persecution and the Holocaust put on army fatigues and you picked up these used, broken, smuggled in weapons. Mm-hmm. And they were attacked by five nations to wipe them out.
Yes.
By a miracle, they won. And God anointed it. They became among the greatest warriors on the planet. And because God anointed it. And the thing is, if you are a believer, you're born again. The Bible says, say, okay, I'm spiritually Jewish. I'm spiritually Israelite. You're not just that. In the Bible, there's no word. In the original language, the word Israelite doesn't exist.
Right.
You know what the word is? Israeli. The Bible says, people say, oh, no, that's not. No, that's in the Bible. Israeli. You are a spiritual Israeli.
Yes.
So the Israelis in the end times had to become mighty warriors. We, spiritual Israelis, have to become mighty warriors as well.
Amen.
We have to become mighty fighters. And so the thing is that as the Israeli had to take up and say no, and they don't care what the world says, I don't care. We have to be the same way, in the spirit. In other words, what it means is the dragon has plans for America, for the world, and you have to say, no, I'm going to fight that.
That's right.
No to the dragon. I no to his plans for the culture. No to his plans for our children. No to his plan for my family. No to his plan for my marriage. No to his plans for my walk, for my calling.
Yes.
No, I'm going to fight you. And God will anoint that. God will anoint that. And speaking of that, an encouragement from the book of Revelation, and that is that it said in that same chapter when it talks about the dragon, it says, but they overcame him.
Yes.
By the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and loving not their lives to death. They overcame him. Who? The dragon, the serpent. They overcame him.
Yes.
So, and the word is awesome because the word for overcome is nikao, which means totally conquer. But the cool thing is it's written about the future, but it's written in the past tense. That word appears. So it's victory That's going to come, but it's victory in the past tense. In other words, the victory is already as good as done. The victory that we have is as good as done.
Amen.
But you got to fight if you're going to see it. If you have victory, but you don't fight, you're not going to see it. So we don't fight to get victory. We fight because we are victorious.
That's
we fight not to victory, but from victory. But we got to fight if you're going to see it. And the other thing is that in the book of Revelation, you don't just have a dragon. You've got a lamb.
Yes.
And the lamb is Messiah. And, you know, most people, if they see a fight between a dragon and a lamb, they go, well, we're putting our bets on the dragon. No. We put our bets on the lamb because the lamb wins.
Amen.
And so, you know, evil always comes like a dragon. It's intimidating. It's fierce. It tries to overwhelm you. Mm-hmm. And good comes like the lamb. It often looks like you're the underdog. You're on the, mm-hmm. It doesn't look like you're on the losing side, the winning side, but we are on the winning side.
Yeah.
In the end, evil, the dragon loses, and evil always loses. You know, dragon is a reptile. Reptiles have no endurance. They can strike, but they can't endure. Good has endures forever.
Amen.
And so the dragon, you know, evil can't win, won't win because it can't. Good will not fail because it cannot fail.
We
are on the winning side, but we got to live like it.
Yes.
We have to live like that. And I'll kind of bring this home with one kind of last thing. That's a phenomenon in history. It's not a matter of feeling and hype, and I feel it's a matter of reality. And think about this. God has given you this sign. And that is, for 4,000 years, the enemy has been trying to wipe out the nation of Israel. Little, tiny Israel. Wipe out the Jewish people. For much of that time, they didn't even have a nation. They were scattered. They didn't have defense. They didn't have police. They didn't have... And the greatest powers, he used the greatest powers. You know, he always does that. The pharaohs of Egypt to wipe them out. Assyria, Babylon, Rome, Hitler, Soviet Union. But after all that time, the pharaohs are gone. Assyria is gone. Babylon has fallen. Rome has disappeared. You know, Hitler has perished. Soviet Union has collapsed. Mm-hmm. The terrorists will be gone. Mm-hmm. They're all gone. But the nation of Israel lives, Am Yisrael Chai,
yes.
Because the God of Israel lives, the Messiah of Israel lives, our Savior, Yeshua of Israel lives.
Yes.
And if we follow him and you keep going, you're going to live, you're going to prevail, you're going to overcome because the victory is in the Lamb. We all deal with the dragon. Listen, overcome your dragon by the power of the Lamb.
Woo! Amen. That makes me want to jump up and start fighting right now.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. We know how busy you are. And this has just been such a great, great talk about your book, The Dragon's Prophecy. Folks, you got to get it. That's all I can say. You got to get it. Get it now at themessianicmarketplace.org. Rabbi, would you close us in prayer, please?
Yes. Father, we just praise you. We ask, Father, your hand upon each one watching. Father, we ask for your victory, Lord. Lord, the power of the Lamb victory. Father, we ask if anyone's watching who doesn't know you, they would realize right now the time is late. They got to get in to be born again, to know you, Father, to have salvation. There's only safety in you. So, Father, we ask, Lord, to all those watching, the power of Messiah, the power of the Lamb, the power of the Lion, the power of our Messiah, to be in each one of us, to overcome everything, whatever it is that we need to overcome that the enemy is using, to overcome, Father, sin, to overcome, Lord, discouragement, to overcome problems, whatever it is, Father, we declare we have victory. So, Lord, bless each one, Lord, touch, Father, and give the victory that you have promised and fulfill the calling for which you have placed us on this earth for such a time as this. B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, Tikvat Yisrael, the hope of Israel,
amen.
Yeshua, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we can see you again next time and have you back to talk about more things that are unveiling from this mystery. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimberly.
All right. We'll see you next time on The Lion's Share. Bye-bye.